All right, g'day Novocastrians, and welcome to the Round 9 Jetstream podcast preview episode, where we discuss the Jets hosting Sydney FC this Sunday at MJ Stadium. I've got two of our regular co-hosts with me. Today it is Bodes. G'day, Bodes.
Fans.
And we've also got Grant. How you going, Grant?
Hey, good, man. Good.
All right, opening question before we jump into it. What was your first mobile phone? Grant, I'm assuming yours is probably going to be a little bit older than both mine and Bode, so why don't you go first?
Well, look, this is going to date me. It was my first mobile phone was actually, and I do recall, it was a Motorola. It was bolted into the car. it had a cradle. And it had a handle like the old-fashioned where you pick it up and it's got the keypad.
Yep.
So you had to look at it, and there was a spirally cord, so you couldn't go anywhere with it. You could only use it in the car.
Stuck in the car, yeah.
There was no hands-free, so you would drive along, like people do nowadays, with your neck cranked over and holding the phone. But the only problem with that is when you lifted your head slightly, the tension on the spirally cord would pull the phone from out under your ear.
what brand was it?
It was a Motorola.
Sure. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure very early on there was only like Motorola and Uniden, I think, were the only ones that made the phones.
Yes.
Or maybe even Ericsson, but there wasn't very many of them around. Bodes, what about you?
Mate, I in the 21st century, I had the I had the Nokia 3315, which would famously be known for the game Snake 2. So, yeah, that was during class at school. It was who could get the highest score on Snake 2.
Yeah, which wasn't a comparison. It was like a sequel that wasn't as good as the original. Wasn't as good as Snake 1.
No, Snake 2 was the best because they got rid of that stupid bloody maze thing where you couldn't go through and come out the other side. That was best thing they ever did, made the game so much funner. and if you didn't play level 9, you were a sook.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right. Well, my first phone was last century. It was actually the NEC Fido. It was the first phone I ever bought. That was a pretty old one. But that was back in 98. I was researching it once we come up with this question, and I jumped on and went, oh, what did it look like? And then looked at it, like, yeah, that was a brick. And then looked at the time when it came out 97, 98, and it was just like, Jesus, yeah, couldn't believe it's nearly 20 years ago.
Yep.
So, and the phone plans were massively expensive as well, if I remember correctly. Nothing much has changed.
Absolutely. And the big thing was, it's all about the chip nowadays.
Yeah.
About the SIM card, but back then it was you bought the phone, and the phone was the thing, and just the who you got. Well, it was only Telstra, so
yeah, that was
incidental, but it was the phone that was the thing until somebody worked it out. Hang on, the chip is where the value is.
Was it Telstra then, or was it Telecom? When did it switch over to Telecom?
No, I think it might have been Telecom. Yeah, that's really starting to date me.
Well, the old NEC Fido was purely phone calls only. I'm pretty sure you couldn't even text from that phone. That didn't come until a couple of years later. So,
text.
Showing our ages there.
Yeah.
All right, and
what a game changing moment.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And there's literally been three people clamoring for this on Twitter. So, Bodes, this is the very first edition of hashtag Beers with Bodes. Today being the 1st of December, you got your beer advent calendar and you cracked open the first one. So, give us the review.
Righto, mate. So, I've actually written down a little bit of notes for this because, like my good friend, Director of Stats, he's good at his preparation, so I've done mine. So, righto, the beer was, drum roll, was a Two Birds Sunset Ale.
Oh, okay.
The brewer is actually Two Birds Brewing. Just a bit of a touch on them. It's the first brewing company in Australia with two girls that actually did the brewing. So,
hence the name.
Hence the name, the Two Birds, correct. To give you a bit of a rundown, it's a rich toffee malt, pine and grapefruit hops beer. So the taste was smooth. The toffee was a little strong. Yeah, not too big a fan of the toffee, but and but there was a nice hop and fruit aftertaste, which caught my taste buds. So I've given it a rating of 3 out of 5. So I'm going to be going for a rating out of 5 for the beer. Right. So I've gone with 3 out of 5.
And the big question is, would you drink it again? Would you pay for?
Yes, I would.
Would you pay?
Yes,
would you pay for another drink of it?
I would pay for another drink of it. I don't think I'd have it late in the play. It would be a starter drink. You wouldn't have 10 schooners of new and then have one of these. You'd be vomiting all sorts.
Or 10 schooners of it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't want to spend the whole night drinking it. And I'd just like to point out, Bodes, that's actually the most preparation you've ever done for, like, anything on this podcast. Usually you rock up cold and you don't even watch the game back. So this is actually the most part. If the rest of the month is going to be like this, these podcasts might have to come out separately.
Let's see, mate. Let's see. Wait for next week's edition.
Yep. All right. No worries. Well, that's there's your first first episode of Beers with Bodes. So we look forward to. And just you've realised you've committed yourself to 2 podcasts a week now, because if you let it go if you don't come
on
week, you're going
to
have a whole bunch of them.
I'm happy to stick with one and rush through it.
All right. Fair enough. We're not going to go into as much detail. All right. Well, we've avoided it for long enough. We do actually need to preview Sunday's 5 p.m. kickoff at McDonald Jones Stadium with the Jets hosting Sydney FC. We did go through this a couple of weeks ago because we only just played them, so this is probably not going to take as long as it ordinarily would. But getting into the first a couple of questions before we get into discussing tactics and starting lineups and stuff. Bodes, 35 played, 6 Jets wins, 22 Sydney FC wins after the win last time, and 8 draws. Can we hope for anything from this match? Sydney FC have held us to 9 clean sheets in the last 10 matches, so the run continues for them.
It does, and I would say our hopes are purely based on the squad Graham Arnold picks. I'm basically hoping that Graham Arnold gives a couple of players the rest after last night's game, and we can hopefully get a weakened squad. But even then, I still expect it to be a tough contest if it's a weakened squad.
And absolutely. And Grant, we asked this last time. Obviously, we're going through all that stuff with records. Records are meant to be broken, though. How good would it be if we could defy the critics of this game and actually be able to jam a win, or at least a point?
Look, I've seen some amazing things happen in football, and that would have to be another one of them if we can beat them. Look, I'm thinking... Now, if Jones is listening, I reckon he's put his team out, but I think he's also noted that there's a number of players that should be need to start looking for a new team. So I think as a tactic, we could put all of those blokes on, go out and kick the crap out of Sydney FC and see what happens.
Yeah, it could be interesting. We will definitely have that bit of news to discuss towards the end of the podcast. So I do hear you. Bodes.
But other than that, I think, this might be deja vu all over again.
Yeah. Bodes, how critical a point are we at in our season? Can we, even if we lose this game, will it matter in the long run, or is it just going to be a steady ramping up of pressure on Jonesy?
I wouldn't say it's completely vital, but it is going to continue to ramp the pressure up on Jones, because this will be now... What round are we up to? Round 8 or round 9?
9.
So this will be 7 rounds since our shellacking of Brisbane Roar. So you'd expect the pressure to rise. And hopefully the pressure is coming from up top from McKenna and the Chinese owners. So, very interesting.
You'd hope so. All right, well, we'll get into a discussion on the starting 11 and some formation and tactics. Now, what I think we're going to do is actually separate this into 2 bits. So... First part, we're going to discuss the starting 11 and the tactics that you boys think we should actually be doing and would actually give us the best chance of winning or getting a point from this game. And then we'll go back and do what we think we're actually going to see. So, Grant, the squad obviously got released today or Thursday when everybody listens to this on Friday. So, obviously, Labby's been promoted to the squad, and you'd think that... Possibly Brennan or someone along those lines will drop out of the squad that he picked. What do you think the starting 11's going to be? What starting 11 would you pick to give us the best chance of winning this game?
Would I pick or what?
No, what do you? What would you pick? What would you pick?
Well, look, I think Labby's got to get on. I think, it's been such an important game to try and get some points. I think that Andy Brennan might have to. Well, I'd be putting him maybe back on the bench and bringing Labby on. But apart from that, I think all what we've got is what we've got out there. So, look, there's one to be omitted, and I'm looking at the team now to try and see who I'd omit, and it most probably would be Brennan. And give Labby a chance, but I've still got concerns that I don't know if we'll see Nordstrom on the pitch at all.
And how has he looked at training? Have you been able to get along?
He spent most of his time in the lounge and the recovery lounge, and he was doing some very light training, and that was Wednesday. Of course, Friday morning is when we get another chance to have a look at them, but that'll be a little bit too late for this podcast. So Friday will be the teller, and maybe we'll put something out to everybody via Twitter one way or another to see if he's actually training, because he wasn't doing any ball work if I recall correctly. So. Yeah. I think we could be in trouble there.
Bodes, it obviously, once we did the review of the last game and he came off at half-time, Jonesy's press conference tended to what he said about Nordstrom coming off at half-time. He thought it was basically the tightness in his flexor was due to overwork, and he's 33. So is it one of the situations where, and you see it around the world in football, where players with experience might not necessarily train as hard? I'm thinking of a Tottenham player that barely trained during the week and then would come on and rip it up on game day. Central defender, I'm trying to think of his name. He retired.
Ledley King,
yeah. So like a Ledley King situation where the bloke can't train because he injures himself or he can't handle it, but he's able to do light work in the lead up to the game, play the game, and then basically spend the rest of the week recovering for the next game.
Start the loop again.
Is that sort of situation we're going to be in?
I'm not sure really, and I'm actually a little bit worried. This could be a little bit of a bluff from Jones saying that was a bit of a precaution. This could be more serious than what we think.
Yeah.
I'm hearing Grant's report that he wasn't doing anything is a real worry for me. So. I don't think it's a Ledley King situation. I think this is quite worrying, and do look forward to seeing what Grant says tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Grant, back to you. So what defence would you be lining up the same way that we did against Victory, or would you be making a switching someone out maybe in the fullback positions or giving Johnny Katrumbis a rest and putting Canner in there?
No, look, I'd stick with Katrumbis because he's getting taller every time he gets on that field.
Yep.
He made a bit of a mistake, and I know it's been talked about there the last game, but look, his effort of his running back and his tackles are very good, and look, I think he's standing tall, that young bloke, and again, Fife is doing everything that's been asked from him, and I think having Canter come on. And Ken's been very controlled, I've noticed, over the last couple of weeks. You know, I'll stand to be correct, but I don't think he's picked up a yellow card, which is very strange.
Yeah, absolutely.
So bringing him on to replace Fife, I think, has been a good move. And Cowburn, Hoffey, there's nobody on the bench to replace him with. You've got Viduca, but obviously sitting on the bench, he's there in case somebody's getting injured. So. Yeah. That's the way I'd leave it at the moment, in the backs.
What about you, Bodes? Would you be making any changes?
Yeah, I would stick with Victor, because I thought, mistake aside, last week he was fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I would be sticking with him. So, and I can't see a reason why in Fife doesn't deserve to start, because you do need an experienced head next to the younger fellas. So,
yep.
And obviously, like I said, the two fullbacks, while without being fantastically outstanding, have been decent. So I would stick with them.
All right. So here we get to the interesting discussion. Midfield. Would you be making any changes to Wayne Brown and Stevie UG, Bodes?
Yes, I would be.
And that would be bringing Poliak on as well.
And that Poliak to come on for Brown, and I would be pushing young Wayne Brown forward.
Yep. Grant, what do you think?
Was that Poliak to come on for Brown?
No,
For Brown. But I would be pushing Brown forward. I wouldn't be dropping Brown.
Yeah.
I think we'd... I'll get into my pick at the in a minute. But so you agree with that, Grant? You'd be playing Poliak and Stevie?
When Brown's been most effective and when he's been in... Yeah, bomb range type of thing, and when he's playing further up, because he tends to, what I've seen, if he's playing further back, he seems to be all over the field, over the pitch a bit more, and a little bit too deep. But if he's pushed up high, he's great on the bomb, or delivering the ball to feet, which he's very good at, and working in tight places. So, yeah, I agree with Bodes, and pushing further up.
All right, so assuming, we'll assume that Morton's, because obviously he's in the squad, so we'll assume, unless injury happens, that he's going to play. So our front four, what are we picking there, Grant? Who do you think? Obviously Brown, pushing Brown into the number 10, which means possibly Clute would have to drop out onto the bench?
Oh, jeez, it's a hard call. He's one of my favourite players. No, because we've got. Do we go back to the? I think Clute's got to be there. He's got to be there, running in with Nordstrom, and or at least on the right hand side. But then the question is, where do you do with Hull? Do you put Hull on the left side?
Not the center. Sorry,
you got Labby. Yeah, so that's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? But because Labby's normally running down the right hand flank, isn't he?
Yeah.
And we've got Mailey Lay, which would be interesting to see how he,
is he ready
if he was to
start. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I thought that he's, he did enough to not lose his spot off the bench. That's for sure, Mailey Lay. So he's better bloody the dead ball than.
Yeah.
And our current dead ball specialist.
Yeah. What about you, Boats?
This is how I would do it. I would push Clute into the false nine. I would play Nordstrom on the left and Hull on the right.
Yep.
That's how I would line it up. I would. It's a mobile front four that I think that would all work well with each other, and I think well supported by Poliak and Agarkovic. So that's how I would have it, and I would have Halidi and Lele on the bench.
Yep, okay. All right, well, I would probably, just purely because of assuming he's fit, yes, but coming off at half-time doesn't leave me to believe he's possibly going to be able to do the format, so I'd probably actually be dropping Nordstrom to the bench. And playing Labby from the start, because I think he played almost a full game for the youth, didn't he, in the derby?
Played the full 90.
Full 90. So, I think he's got a run in his
and
legs. I think we just need to chuck him on. So my team, and we'll get into what we think is going to happen in a minute, but the best chance of winning this, I think, is we need to be as mobile and as pressing as possible. So I'd actually, and it's a bit harsh on him, I'd be dropping Cowburn to the bench, and I'd be bringing in Voyitsa because he's got more speed getting up and down the flanks. And I would be playing, like we said, Stevie UG and Poliak, so that when Hoffman or Voyitsa make the forward run, one of those two will be able to slot in and we don't lose anything in defence. I'd be playing Hull Brown. I'd be playing Marley Lay purely because he covered that left side fairly well, I think, when he came on. And again, like Grant said, dead ball, much better dead balls than Hull. And I'd probably be playing Labby up front. So that's going to give up. But I'd be making sure that Hull and Lay weren't actually drifting wide. They'd be tucked in, and we'd be getting our width from our fullbacks. So I think that's probably going to be the best way, and it's going to look a lot more attacking, and I think, people who go and watch that style of play and those sorts of players are going to be much more appreciative, even if we do lose. They're going to see that the team's actually having a go, but they're not. I don't think, Grant, do you think that sort of formation and those sorts of tactics would result in us losing anything defensively? It creates a little bit more attacking intent.
Look, you're right. And look, I think for the fact that Labby's most probably a bit more height, he's a bit more of a target to hit.
Yep.
Look, he's not 6 foot or anything like that. But considering we had Nordstrom in the middle there, and he was getting out jumped by the defence. So having Labby there, I think, might give us a bit more of a target man as well. And we know he's fast. We know he's agile, and we know he's going to have a crack at any chance he gets. So. Well, I think that's. I think that a lot of Jets fans understand the situation we're in, and I think we're very, as hardened fans, with their hearts on sleeves, we forget sometimes that we do have so many of our first team players out. That yep. If we can put in a good show and maybe get a clean sheet, would be absolutely huge. If we went down by one to Sydney FC, you just come off a pretty stinging defeat last night or on Wednesday night from Melbourne City, I think that the rest of the fans will appreciate what the players are doing on the park. So, yeah.
Yeah, Bodes, that's a good point. And I think most fans, while the calls and the frustration, it's more we're understanding, but I think most of the shrieking online tends to come from people being frustrated that yet again we're in this position and we're down in eighth and they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
No, they can't, and you can't blame fans for having that opinion. I actually was a bit disappointed by Jones's comments, I think, early in the week about telling the fans to stick behind the player club. And look, this is now the eighth year, and
yeah.
The third or fourth coach telling the fans to do it. They've got to really more or less start showing on the park and give fans a reason to be coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we'll get into what we think we're actually going to see. Bodes, with you, do you see Jonesy bringing Poliak back on, or is he going to play one or the other and keep Brown back in that number six or number eight role?
Yeah, I expect Wayne Brown will be playing in the six with the captain's arm there. And I actually think he'll drop Stephen Agarkovic. I think he'll want to go with the steel in the middle. So, incorrectly, I think Stephen Agarkovic will be on the bench.
And, Grant, do you think he's going to make any changes in defence, or he's going to keep going with the defence we saw?
No, I don't think he's going to keep his defence as it has been the last week or so.
Yep.
I agree with Bodes. I think that's what's most probably going to happen in the centres, and that's not going to win anybody any friends. But I think that's how it'll go.
And what about forwards, Grant? Because obviously it was a rumour put out. I can't remember if it was in one of the Herald articles or whether it was actually online that Jonesy played Brennan to put him in the shop window so that people would actually remember he exists and maybe put in a bid for him. Do you see him doing that again, or do you think maybe Pavicevic will maybe make an appearance just purely to get him in the shop window for January? Or would we be looking at maybe seeing Marlowe Leigh came on, perform well for 45 minutes, he'll stick him on from the start and see how he goes?
Look, not knowing actually what's going to happen, I think my guess might be the latter. Pavicevic hasn't been anywhere near the first team for training, so I think that's just a huge risk.
Yep.
For the team and for the scoreboard. Andy Brennan, there was a Herald article there that said that Jets have been in discussions with Andy's manager earlier this week.
Yep.
So maybe that's already happened, so therefore maybe they won't play him again. So it'll be interesting to see. One thing I do think, though, that if Nordstrom is anywhere near fit and able to, he'll be, as I say, worst case scenario, will be on the bench.
Yep. But do you think he'll probably start?
Sorry, I missed that.
Do you think he'll probably start?
Again, from what I've seen at training, no. I think best case scenario, he'll be on the bench.
Yeah, so you'd be thinking that Labby would be starting?
Yes, yeah, I think so. And I think I thought that was going to be the case last time, and you know, it ended up, and everybody was shocked at
Didn't even make the trip.
The juniors
didn't even make the trip. Yeah. So that obviously leaves Clute playing in the number 10 role, in between Hull, Marley Lay, and Labby. So. Bodes for that team, do you think that team's as effective as the team we would like to see, or maybe it hasn't quite got the legs that it should?
If I was Sydney FC, I would not be feared by that lineup.
Would you be feared by the one we want to see, though, having Poljak and Stevie Ujic Brown pushing
if,
forward?
If Labby, Nordstrom, Clute and Brown were in the front four, I think that would strike some fear.
All right, fair enough. And also, obviously, tactics is going to come into it a fair way as well. Grant, we started. We actually had a decent first half for the most part against Victory. It would be nice if we could see that again. Maybe two games in a row might be too much to ask, but who knows? But I don't know about you, but I would really like to see them actually showing some urgency and actually pressing the team in defence rather than just sitting back and letting them come onto them.
Well, look, one of the things I'm hoping for is that they've looked at what they've done, watched the video, the replay, and think, hey, that'll work, and we'll do that again.
Yeah,
because it did work. It frustrated Victory, and we were forcing mistakes. So look, as I say, if they can't do that again, then there's real issues. Because I think if we can do that and put the pressure right on them, we've got I think that's our only chance, not our best chance. I think it's our only chance. Because otherwise, if we don't push high and push the ball carrier as hard as possible, then I think Sydney will just steamroll us.
How did you see, obviously, Bodes, you were with us down in Melbourne. How did you see the differences between the first and the second half? Was it purely down to the press, or do you think we got tired and we just ended up resorting to long balls, which never went to anyone, and that's where we ended up, shooting ourselves in the foot?
I think, essentially, the goals killed us, in my opinion. The press in the first half was excellent, and we obviously had a game plan in place to, well, in my opinion, grab the draw, but still had a game plan in place. But once they could send the goals, we reverted to this long ball to the shorter players, which obviously was ridiculous. And David on Monday surely had a good opinion in regards to it, and I agreed with him fully. So, look, I think we need to get on the front foot this weekend. I don't say we have to go all out in the attack, but we have to show some intent when we get the ball, because it seems like just the last couple of weeks we just haven't had any intent.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also need our not just in defence, but our attack. Our forwards need to start making a few more runs to draw defenders away, because that was the other big problem that we saw get away to Victory, was we didn't have anybody creating any options up front. So I'm hoping that Jonesy's spotted all that and has been working on it during the week, but obviously Grant and Todd will be able to answer that a little bit more than we will. So we'll move to the Sydney FC side of things. Grant, obviously they lost the FFA Cup final on Wednesday night, and I would call semi-controversial circumstances, considering a non-penalty that probably, in my opinion, should have been given.
It wasn't late in the game. It wasn't a penalty. It was outside the box.
Well, free kick then, but it would have been. Yeah. But
I've got to agree with Osama Malik when he was interviewed. When he said no, it wasn't a free kick. Now, he was there, so I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah,
I tell you what the biggest shock from that game was seeing David Carney track back about 40 yards to get to defend late in the game. I thought he has never done that with the Jets, ever. And all of a sudden,
who knew he knew how to go backwards? That was I didn't think he could go backwards at any quicker than walking.
And genuinely looked really fit too, tracking back.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few jokes in there, but Bodes, is this sort of game and the fact that they lost a final and they're now 6 years without a trophy? Yeah, good on you, Sydney FC fans. Try going like, you know, 10. Is this a sort of game that can cause a bit of a meltdown in confidence? You know, they're still undefeated in the league, but that sort of thing, they've played midweek, they've lost the game. Players have it's a short turnaround to the game on Sunday. Do we have the option to maybe catch them unawares?
Yeah, of course we do. But in saying that, it can go the opposite way. They can come up here absolutely fired up, wanting to show something,
pissed off.
It can turn on us. So it's a two way street, and it really depends what Sydney turns up. And like I said right at the start of the show, it's what squads Graham Arnold wants to pick. Does he want to give the guys an opportunity who lost the game on Wednesday night, or does he want to rest those players and bring his squad members in? So it'll be really interesting to see what he does.
Yeah, I mean, Grant, I'd assume you'd have to rest some players, because I'm pretty sure that most of the players that played on the weekend then turned around again. So you'd think that there'd be a couple of chances.
No, last week they rested most of their squad.
Oh, really? Okay, so that... Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Grant?
They've got two. The two that have been promoted, they've got George Blackwood, who I don't know too much about, but Bernie Albini is the other player that's been promoted. So where he's been promoted, I don't know.
What a difficult option to have there.
Exactly. So I'm looking at their team right now, and I'm thinking, you know, who would you drop? He's sitting. He must have some of the biggest head scratches, because, as I say, Arnold's just sitting there fine tuning that team, and he's. I think he's got the. He's got the guns there, to say, well, look, for instance, if Zulu's a little bit sort of, he got hammered a little bit in the FFA Cup final, so maybe he gets, he gets onto the bench and not even dropped, or you know. So, look, they're firing from all over the place. Actually, Matt German's eye's still bunged up, so we can't see too well. And so that's about the only chances we've got.
Yeah. Well, Bodes, that's there will be, now that he's lost that final, that'll be more pressure on Graham Arnold, because he hasn't won anything since he's been there, and you'd think this is his last opportunity. So he's going to want to keep his team at the top of the table to have the best chance of claiming the premiership.
Yeah, of course, 100%.
Yep, well, that was a well-involved answer. Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, there's nothing else to say.
Yeah, true.
You pretty well nailed it, mate.
Don't need to go any further. Don't worry about expanding on it, it's fine. So comparing the FFA Cup final and the game we played them a couple of weeks ago, Bodes, has your opinion changed on any of the players that we need to watch out for from them, and any weaknesses? Did you see anything in the last two games that you've watched? If you watched the FFA Cup final, I'm not sure, but is there going to be any weaknesses that may have cropped up between now and then that maybe you didn't think before that first game were actually there?
The only weakness I can see with them is Ryan Grant, who, in my opinion, isn't a right back, but in saying that, has been playing okay this year. In terms of that, no, they are a strong squad. And to be honest, they deserve to be favourites still for the title this season, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, I said it before and I'll say it again. I picked them to be there. I picked them to finish first at the very first podcast. So, they're obviously proving me right every week. So what about you, Grant? Has your opinion changed on any of the players that we need to watch out for, or any weaknesses?
Yeah, look, I was on the preview pod for the last game, and I was talking about I didn't think that Matt German would be as effective as he should be, and geez, am I eating those words? I don't see too. I agree with Bodes in regards to Grant, but yeah, look, that's supposed to be a dent in their arm and not necessarily a real chink. So they're a top flight squad, and not unbeatable. I look, they've proven that over the they've had two draws and now a loss. So, it is one of those things, one of those mind things. Do they bounce back or do they sort of go into a bit of a rut?
Yeah.
Maybe this, we could be sitting in a situation where we've got a bit of a makeshift team, and that's what I'd say we've got together. We've cobbled together, with the Fifes and the Katrimbas. Yep.
We're not expected to do anything.
No, that's right. And therefore, we could give them a sucker punch. So, hopefully that's what we can do.
The pressure's not on
The brilliant thing about the A-League is, at the end of the day, anyone can beat anyone.
Hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've talked about that for long enough. So, prediction time, Boats. What do you think? What's the score going to be at full time?
3-1 Sydney.
Grant?
Oof. No. Look, I'm going to go. My heart says a 0-0 draw, but my head says 1-0 loss.
Yep. I'm actually going to be optimistic, I think, as I was last time. So hopefully, I'm not putting the mockers on us. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw. I don't think we'll break their undefeated streak in the A League, but I don't. I'm thinking that maybe they'll just be a bit of a hangover from that FFA Cup final loss. All right, so we'll cover off the rest of round 9 and a little bit of news before we finish this off. So round 9 starts on Friday night, 7:50 kickoff down there in Melbourne. Melbourne Victory taking on Perth Glory. What do you think, Grant? Perth have been were widely tipped at the beginning of the season, but have so far failed to fire.
Because of my love for Musket, I'm going to go with Glory, and because I think they're going to kick back. I think so. I think that it's going to be a 2-0 victory to Glory.
What do you think, Bodes? Perth Glory were pretty toothless when Castro went off last week. That's why they lost to the Jaguars.
They let the country down.
They did.
Perth did, anyway. But Melbourne Victory are coming into form, so I'm actually going to go with Melbourne Victory 2-1.
All right. I might go a 2-1 win to Melbourne Victory as well. So Saturday sees two games. First one is Central Coast versus Western Sydney, 5:30 kickoff. Bode, so I probably don't need to ask you what the score's going to be there.
4-0.
Grant?
Oh, look, I think it's going to be 3-0. Not as optimistic as Bode.
Yep. I think that it'll be a 3-1 win to Wanderers, but fingers crossed for that. All right, so the FFA Cup holders for 2016 Melbourne City are playing Saturday night, 7:50 kickoff at Amy Park against the Brisbane Roar. Grant, what do you see in this game?
Well, Holosco, is it? No, sorry, not Holosco.
Holman.
Was it Holman? He's injured, isn't he? Out
for 6 weeks.
And
not the season like I thought before.
Good call, fans.
I think City's going to have a bit of a hangover. I'm going to go with 2-1 to the Raw.
Oh, okay. Boil over. Bodes, what do you reckon?
That's not a bad shout. And to be honest, Brisbane have gone about their work slowly this year. So, I'm going to go with Grant. I'm going to say 1-0 Brisbane. Jamie McLaren score.
Well, they've certainly picked themselves up since losing to us 4-0, but I actually think that this could be a good, exciting game. I think, actually, it'll be 2-2. All right, Sunday, the game after ours is 7 p.m. kickoff down in Adelaide. Adelaide playing Wellington. What do you reckon, Bodes? Can the Phoenix get a long-deserved win? Or will Adelaide get a long-deserved win?
This will be a draw, and it will be a bore nil draw.
What do you reckon, Grant?
Well, I'm going to go. Look, I think it'll be a. We have a good chance of playing teams that are just coming into form, so I don't think Adelaide are going to win as we play them next week.
Yeah. nailed on to lose that.
Yeah. 2-2. I'm going to go 2-2. I think there's going to be a couple of goals in it, but it's still going to go for a draw as well.
I actually think that Adelaide is still waiting for some effective players to come back. I actually think Wellington can win this. I think it'll be a 2-0 win to Wellington. All right, well, that covers off round nine. So, obviously, we touched on it before when talking about Jonesy coming out, well, being quoted in a Herald article as telling a few fringe players that they need to move on. There was a list of 150 A-League players that are coming off contract at the end of this season at all clubs that was published. I think it was 442 Bodes, was that right? Fox Sports. It was either Fox Sports or 442, one of them. So obviously there was a few players at the Jets that are coming off contract at the end of this season. So I thought it obviously, Grant, we'll talk about the three main ones that are obviously been touted in the media and have been around for that. You know, at least two separate coaches have tried to get rid of him now, and Jonesy's the third, asking them to politely move on so that we can sign someone else. So it remains to be seen. It's obviously talking about Andy Brennan, Mitch Cooper, and Radovan Pavicevic. In January, how many of those players do you think will move on, and how many do you think will hang around until their contracts are up at the end of the season?
Well, those particular three, I think all of them.
They're not going to go? Or they're all going to go?
Yeah. I don't think they've got much future left with the club. Those that have had a chance to try have not been able to achieve what's required, and the others haven't even been given a chance. So I think, and at the end of the day, they're all at the lower end of the dollar scale. So. I think they're all gone, mate. Yep.
In January?
In January.
Okay. Well, Bodes, this is always, like I said, obviously Jones is the third catch that have tried to move him on. Scott Miller tried to get rid of him last January as well, but they didn't go. Do you agree with Grant that they're going to go in January as well, or do you think that they're just going to do what they did with Scott and just stay and collect their money and then move on at the end of the season?
Well, I actually think if we're serious about things, if they don't go, we'll pay them out to go. It's well reported that we're not paying the full cap. So, and they're not; those guys aren't what I would consider large earners. So, who says we can't let them go? So,
but if we pay them out, does that go against the cap? I don't think it does anymore, does it?
Yeah, it does go against the cap. But in saying that, we've still got money to go out. They've got plenty of concessions to be able to go out and get. Players we need to bring in. So, if the club wants to be serious, they will find a way to release them. All the top A-League clubs find a way to release them.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to go through the list of players that are out of contract at the end of the season. I'll do one each, and you just say whether you think they're going to stay or whether you'd like them to stay and whether you think they'll stay. All right. So, Bodes, the first one is Bron Mora.
Stay.
Yep. You think he will, or you want him to stay?
No, I want him to stay. Look, at the end of the day, he was given a contract because he's a local boy, and he hasn't even been given a chance. So,
he's performed pretty well in the youth league as well.
Yeah, he's carved exactly. It up. And at the end of the day, I think he's only 18 years of age, so he actually has 2 years still eligible to the youth team, so they can sign him back to the youth team if need be.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so Grant, the next one's Labby. Obviously been injured for a fair while and only just coming back. Is it worth keeping him around for another season?
I'm concerned, because I'm a huge fan of Labby. His name's printed on the back of one of my shirts, and I've got huge concerns for him. I think from a business point of view, he may be finished.
All right. Bodes, Hooley.
We probably should keep him, but in saying that, he hasn't done anything outstanding this year to be open to a massive return.
Yep. Hey, he looked good in the early games, but see, he's the majority of his games so far have been underwhelming. So I do agree. I think he should get let go. Grant, Lachlan Jackson.
Lachlan Jackson, I think, is somebody that, he's a very young bloke. He's tall, he's strong. He's somebody I think they would hang on to.
Yeah, I do agree. I think they should keep him. And Bodes, obviously, we've talked about him before. Canner.
I think it is finally... I think he's improved this year, but I think it is finally time that Kanarowski moves to a new A-League club.
It may be not even in the A-League, because the word is that there's going to be quite a few Asian clubs looking around for you know, decent Australian talent. So we could even pick up a contract in Malaysia or somewhere like that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he needs to get out of his comfort zone and out of Newcastle to move on. So I do agree with you. All right, Grant, BK.
Again, a stalwart of the club. I think he's never had the opportunity. This was his year. This was supposed to, you know, should have been his year from my point of view. And the injuries got him. And again, from a business point of view, the changes of managers, etc. I think that it might be his last year.
Yeah, I do agree. I think I don't want him to leave, but I think they'll probably will let him go. Yeah. All right, Bodes, Marley Lay, there's obviously rumours around that he's already been looked at by Chinese clubs.
Let him go. I've got nothing. Yeah, so if we get the money.
Get money in play and move him. No, that was a good investment.
Get money.
Picked up a player that hasn't played in ages, played him for 3 games, pick up 100 grand, 200 grand, that's easy money.
Yeah, no, I would be selling him.
Yep, all right. Grant Mullen, this is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, look, from what I've seen of him before he got injured, I'd keep him. He seemed to be quite strong at the back and was quite good. So, and still quite got a few years in front of him. So he'd be one that I would hang on to.
Yep.
But you know, there's a but.
Yep. There's always a but. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see whether he's happy with that three central defenders. So, obviously, Bugard comes back. He's still got another year left on his contract. If we keep Lachlan Jackson, Lachlan Jackson, Mullen and Bugard with a pretty good three. I would probably be looking at maybe adding a fourth as some sort of utility player, although maybe Cowburn can move across in there, who knows, but it'd be interesting. All right, Bodes, Nordstrand.
Glad you got in.
It's a tough one. Look, if he can play the rest of the season uninjured, keep him for another year. If he continues to be injured, no, we've got to let him go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because he's getting up in age, whereas his injury problems aren't going to get better magically. It's just going to keep causing problems. So, all right. Now there was another player that was listed on this.
Garkovic.
No, Nielsen. Nielsen is a bloke I've never heard of. I don't even know who he is. Poliak actually comes off contract at the end of the season as well, but he's also, Grant, also being touted as getting his Australian citizenship very soon, so that's obviously going to play a big part, I think, in whether he stays or not.
I think that would, if he gets his Australian citizenship, I think that would make that ability to bring in another foreign player, so, and I'd hang on to him. So, if he gets that. If he doesn't get his Australian citizenship, that might be, there'd be some sort of thought process to go in whether you'd hang on to him.
Yeah. Now, I agree. I would, if he gets his Australian citizenship, keep him. But if I don't know next season whether it'd be worth, giving away an import spot on. All right. Yep. All right. So, Bodes, obviously you and I are probably going to be in pretty much a close agreement with this. Jugarkovic.
5-year contract, should be the captain in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, that's what should. What do you think's going to happen?
Reality, I expect him, unfortunately, probably to be playing in either red or black or sky blue next year.
I would really, really hate it if that happened because, we've got him back here and given him the chance and he's done really well. It's just, I don't know. The coach sees him as he should be rotating him. Maybe they don't get on. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I think Stevie UG is probably one of the best players we've got now in our squad, Grant.
Oh, absolutely, and he shows it at training. So it's a real sort of head scratcher in regards to why he's not getting a run. And I've heard that not long after he started playing with this, he was getting approaches from overseas, and Miller was knocking him back. So Miller was making comment in house that they didn't think they'd be able to hang on to him at the end of the season.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. payments. And I don't know. Maybe they're looking for a paycheck from him. I don't know.
Well,
what
if that's
he comes off contract, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, if they're looking to cash in on him overseas, I would be signing him up to at least a 2-year deal, so we get a decent transfer fee out of him. If we don't see him, if we don't see him signed up to a contract by the end of the season, he's gone to another A-League club. I think that's the only way it works.
I was looking for it, and I found it, and I've been looking at the Herald article here. One of the things that Jones says, the players have contracts which will be honoured. So, not the players that have, whether it's a grammatical error, I don't know. He said the players have contracts and which will be honoured. So I don't know. That sort of, to me, says what we were saying before about those three, about the, if they're still under contract, chances are they'll be paid out.
Yeah. Or maybe that we won't be letting anybody go in January. Maybe he's maybe that was just a warning to agents that have been putting calls in for our players. They've got contracts and they're not going anywhere till the end of the season. Yeah. So that might be another way to interpret that. Bodes, the other one that's interesting and could be a discussion for a minute or two is Katrumbis. Do you think he's? Do you think we should be signing him up and keeping him here for, you know, similar to how we found Lachlan Jackson? I think Lachlan Jackson came in as an injury replacement and ended up getting a
He came through JP. JP rated him.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, I think Katrumbis has done well enough, and that would sort out development for our centre backs. By the time him and Lachlan Jackson are ready to take over the role full time, it'd be time to get rid of Bugard and Mullen.
I think it depends purely on Daniel Alesi and where Mark Jones rates Alesi, because we've signed Alesi for 2 years, and at the end of the day, Katrumbis is only in as cover for him. So we would have to give Katrumbis a contract over Mullen or Jackson. So unsure.
Yeah.
That one's a wait and see, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be interesting because obviously we've got two centre backs on out of contract. So maybe going back and looking at the Jackson and Mullen situation, we'd probably only be able to keep one of them if we wanted to also sign Katrumbis. But who knows whether he's even interested in staying in Newcastle beyond his injury replacement contract. We don't know. You know, a couple of people have posted that the deal is that he goes back to Adelaide, but you just don't know at the end of the day what the deal was and what was made with Adelaide when we signed him. So interesting news, and it will be also interesting to maybe have a chat about transfers in the lead up to January the 1st. We don't know. We might look at doing a special podcast where we talk about those players a bit more in depth and maybe look at off-contract options at other clubs to come in. But I think that's where we can leave it there, and pretty much leaves the rest of the episode for the preview against Jets and Sydney FC. So that'll end it. So thanks very much to Bodes and Grant for joining me tonight.
Pleasure.
No problems.
All right, so if anybody needs to get in contact with us, click the episode notes. That'll have the Twitter handles for the guys on tonight. Hopefully I'll spell Grant's one correctly this time. And also has our Twitter, Facebook, and email contacts as well for the podcast itself. And you can also jump onto the forums at newcastlefootball.net. We'd also love an iTunes review. If anybody has a spare 5 seconds, please jump onto iTunes and give us a review, and we'll read it out on the podcast. But that's pretty much wrapped it up. So we'll see you. Hopefully, we'll see everybody at the Premier Hotel at 3 p.m. for some pre-game action, and then at 5 o'clock at the McDonald Jones Stadium. So thanks very much for listening. We will see you then, and we will speak to you next week for the review.
Ta-da. Oh, and don't forget to
listen
to the Recovery Lounge.
And absolutely, don't forget to listen to the Recovery Lounge after the outro music.
Yep. Ta-da. Bye. I'm down, Benjamin.
Okay, so moving into report from the recovery lounge, as another ball bounces past our ears, there's almost as many on the recovery lounge as there is out in the field there.
We don't need to extend it, but we're going to have to, I think.
Look, the one of the promising things, I suppose, is Dan Mullins. He was out there doing some fast ball work with the guys. There was no contact, but he was out there working pretty hard and putting big yards in. Since then, that they've moved over the other side of the pitch now, so you can hear it's a bit quieter. But they're so he's pulled away from that because they're doing contact, playing contact over on the other side now. With the other guys, Lachlan Jackson and Boogs, they're currently they're doing some light work, some light running work. Dan's actually joined those two guys. So Dan Mullen looks, from what we understand, he's about 2 weeks away. So the others still a little bit further. Yeah, but you never know.
Put them in the 2 to 4. Yeah, and I'd sort of.
And we'll be able to come back. Naboot, he's
sort of, he's lost him. He's out running.
Yeah,
around,
no, right? he's putting in some. He's doing a lot of hard running. He's doing a little hard, but he's still not with a ball at the moment. So if you see him, he's just over there now on the sideline. Yeah, right. Jones has got his arm up. So yeah, so he's not out on the pitch, but he's putting in some very hard sprints and that type of thing. So it'd be interesting. We'll know by Friday. We're recording this part on Wednesday, but so we'll add the other bits in on Friday.
Yeah.
So hopefully by then he might be running with a ball. But at this point in time, I'd be saying no, that he's not going to be available for Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a few
Still
players upstairs bike riding.
Yes, yeah, the binoculars tell me that's Coco on the right and Nordstrom on the left. So we know Coco's out for 4 weeks. And at this stage, Nordstrom is, we're still yet to find out. So hopefully we'll find out after the training session, guys, and we'll add that into the latter part of the podcast. But everybody else is...
Christian,
g'day mate, how you going? Say g'day to the crowd.
So we'll be
keeping an eye. And and Elise, he's moved. He was up there helping the video, the video analysis
doing,
dude.
Videography.
Yes.
Is that a word?
That is. I think it is, actually. Yeah.
So,
So really from... that's again, we'll give you an extended version of the recovery lounge report when we get a little bit more information, guys, but that may not be... you'll hear it in this podcast, but for us it'll be a couple of days' time.
Time, yeah.